じゃきれ
traveled there, I think, 2 weeks ago, and it was worse than they hoped.
And there was really just total devastation there where Hurricane Matthew went through. And in your generous donations, we sent $500 over there with them. One Sunday's offering, you also generously gave to that. And I had some clothes. Somebody brought some children's clothes and some clothing. And I delivered those as well that following week. So your generous donations and your items that were sent over are already in use there. Fritz, when he got there, he's contracted with somebody to help get the school back up. If you don't remember the story, they had a school there that they had built over a period of, say, 7 or 8 years, and two houses, actually. I guess some of the teachers and things lived in as well. And, they started out with like 10 students or something. I think now they're up to like, I believe it was 300 students that they have in that school now and in the community that they support. So that's an update on where your donations have gone. We will probably do that again sometime in the future. We'll partner with them. You know, we really can't go over there and do that kind of work on our own, but they're certainly sending folks over in our stead. So as much as we can support that, I'll let you know in the future when Fritz is ready to travel again, and maybe we can take up another special offering for them as well. But thank you all very much for your generosity in that. For one Sunday's offering, $500 was pretty well done good, so I'm proud of you all for that as well. The mission jar on the back table back there, we only have, I think, two more Sundays for one more. This is it? Today is it. It's for Cross Ministries. You know, we used to do the angel tree where we would pick a child's name and go out and purchase those items, and Cross Ministries took care of those that for us and handed out the gifts and things. But now they do gift cards, so we don't have to go out shopping. But the money that you'll put in the mission jar for today is the last one, because you'll have to get out and get the cards and get that organized. So if you'd like to drop something in our mission jar there in the narthex, that would be appreciated as well. So this will be your last Sunday for that, and then in January we'll start a new mission project as well. You've seen our little house in the back. David and Marilyn Van Fleet, that's your son, right, that has built that for us. You may not have known, but remember the one that used to hang from the ceiling back there, and we would put our staff offering in? We realized that burned up in the fire, so we didn't have that. Last year, we actually just had a basket, but they've so generously asked their son, and we thank him for building our new little house back there. So if you would like to drop something in there for the staff of the church, we do a love offering each year for that. So, and that's two more Sundays after this Sunday, right, Barbara? So we have this Sunday and two more Sundays for you to make make an offering to your staff here at the church. So appreciate that if you'd like to be a part of that as well. I'm ready to worship. Are you?
Yeah.
Let's prepare our hearts and minds for worship this morning.
Believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion.
It's in the hymnals number 213, but it will also be projected.
Left her. They say no one likes changes. Of course, they also say variety is the spice of life. So which is true, or is there a difference? Maybe it's that we think of a variety as a choice. That is, change we can manage on our own terms. We like options, which one of the hundreds of cable channels to watch, where to go for lunch today, who will align ourselves with politically. But unlike variety, change is not like that. It often doesn't happen on our terms. Unexpected news, unexpected guests, unplanned life events, it happens to all of us, and we can try to manage change as best as we can. But we can't prevent it. We are in control as much as we like to think. When our status quo is invaded with troubling news, it can be unnerving, as if it was for the young girl whose quiet life was suddenly disrupted by an uninvited messenger with news of change like none other. Greetings. You who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. And even though these were glad tidings, very glad tidings, in fact, sometimes even good changes, change carries a heavy burden. It is then we must decide who is in charge of the change. The young girl knew and responded well. Peace does not come from our ability to control what God allows in our life, but from our response to Him. Let's reflect on our response to our changing world in light of God's sovereign plan as we light the second candle of Advent.
Beautiful.
may be seated. It's up here. These folks make me do a lot of business. Business. Are you ready for Christmas?
Yes.
Why? What's going to happen at Christmas? Boy, you studied for the test, didn't you? Always say Jesus when the pastor asks you a question in church. You're right about 80% of the time. It's a good one, good one. Well, what do we have to do to get ready for Christmas? Are we doing it right now in church?
Yes.
What are we doing to get ready?
Praise the Lord.
You've been studying, haven't you? Destiny gets 2 gold stars so far. Way to go, Destiny. So what are we doing to get ready for Christmas? We light some candles. We put up some trees. We decorate some things. You have your decorations up at home? See? You want to come to our house and help us? My wife is really slow about putting up our Christmas tree. You can't see her right there, but she is really mad now. Okay, so we're getting ready for Christmas. Advent, we've been talking about that. We've been talking about getting ready for who to come? Jesus, okay. So if Jesus is going to come, does our house need to be in order and cleaned up and picked up? It should look pretty good, though, shouldn't it? Wouldn't we be embarrassed if it doesn't? Are you? Not to embarrass your parents. If company unexpectedly shows up and your house is a mess, are your parents happy with that? No. So we got to have our place in order if company's coming, right? Jesus could be company. Well, the second candle we have lit tonight, today, which one is it? You didn't listen to Michael reading all that eloquent reading that he did? What was it? Do you remember? Peace. How do we get peace? Are you peaceful during this Christmas time? You think so? Or are you hectic? Is your life hectic and busy and crazy and running around trying to do all the things that you need to do for Christmas? Don't you think it'd be a good idea for us to slow down and enjoy some peace during this time of the year? Okay, let's do that from this point forward, okay? We're not going to get excited about presents. Because there's people that are not going to get presents this year, aren't there? So if we get one present this year for Christmas, we are a lot better off than a lot of other people in the world, aren't we? So we need to not want so much stuff. We need to remember those that don't have as much as we do, right? So that's what I want you to remember. We're going to prepare. We're going to continue to prepare. We're going to light a new candle each week. And we're going to remember what we're waiting for, right? Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for these beautiful children this morning. Thank you for these young lives that are seeking you and how you can be a big part of their life this Christmas. So, Father, just bless them. Keep them safe. Keep them filled with your peace and joy. We love you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, guys. Some of you going to Sunday school? Devin, you going to Sunday school? Miss Monica's back there. Okay, cool. This is the time of our service. We take our prayers before the Lord. I say this every week. You come and you have things on your heart that God can feel and hear deep within you. So I pray today that as we have this time of sharing our concerns, let's remember those that aren't going to have such a joyful, happy time during this Christmas season. I'm going to talk about that a little bit in our message today. There's people that are hurting. And for a time of year that should be filled with joy and sometimes be filled with sadness. So we're going to remember that today We're going to remember the reason why we celebrate the coming of the Savior in the form of a baby. Here are these prayer requests this morning lifted up. Audra Miller. Audra is declining a little bit, I think. So she's just having some problems. She's been diagnosed with cancer, if you didn't know. And so she's just progressing in that fashion as well. So keep Audra in your prayers. Anthony Tavares is Dean Crawford's grandson. He's in the hospital with stomach problems and awaiting test results. So we'll keep Anthony in our prayers. Donald Subi is experiencing a lot of pain and has an undiagnosed condition right now. Those are friends of Chanel's, Sally Chanel. And Catriona as well is heading up to Shands again for her quarterly checkup. So we're going to pray for safe travel mercies and for good test results for Catriona as well this morning. Douglas Ryder. Carol, is he participating in this today?
Veterans for Peace.
Okay, it's a veterans group. Okay. Yeah, we pray. We've been lifting them up as well. The Standing Rock situation. Continue to lift them up, and Douglas Ryder as well. Karen Snyder, good to see you, Karen, today. She's got some not the greatest news this week, so we continue to lift you up, Karen. We're here to love you and support you. But she'll be continuing with her doctor's appointments and just strength for this crazy journey that she's been on. And her husband as well, David, he's having surgery this week, right, on his foot. David, her husband, will also be having foot surgery that's going to lay him up for 6 or 8 weeks. So we need to continue to pray them up as well. George and Mary Lou Brennan-Stahl, the Blankenships lifted them up. They have health concerns. We've been praying for them for quite some time. Alex is lifting up a chef, a friend of his, James, is going into hospice care. So pray for James during this tough time of year. Lenore Captain, a neighbor of Beverly Josephson. She's in the last stages of cancer as well. So Lenore Captain. Jane Hart is lifting up her brother Tom. he came for a surprise visit. Okay, that's awesome. So praises for that as well. So travel mercies for James' brother Tom. Michael Garrett as well. He's trying to pick up another job, and he had some problems with the physical. Couldn't say the word. He's had some heart condition, a heart situation that's come up. So Michael's going to be seeing a doctor this week as well, tomorrow. So just keep Michael and Evelyn and their family. Thomas Caldwell as well has experienced healing from cancer, so we praise the Lord for that this morning as well. I'd like to lift up a young lady, I think she's in her late 20s, maybe 30, a friend of ours, Heather Rubino, with pancreatic cancer, and she is going into hospice care. She got, I think, about a one-year-old and about a 3 or 4 year old child and her husband. Heather Rubino and their family as well are having, they had their Christmas celebration yesterday with a little thing she's going to make it for Christmas. So a lot of sad situations out in the world today. So like I said, I know you have things that you bring with you this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and loving God, with the list that I've just read, this time of year obviously bears its burdens for us. Father, so many suffering from cancer and sickness, just things that plague us in our daily lives. Father, today I'm praying for healing, not just our common healing, we see that every day, But Father, we want to witness miraculous healing during this hope-filled time of the year. Father, these names lifted up that are at the end of their days, we pray that the manner in which you heal them will be visible to each one of us, and we will sing praise. So, Father, today we come, some of us with heavy hearts, a time of year when we miss loved ones, when we're far from family, when we've scattered to the four winds. Father, today I pray that this church family could come and rally around those that are lonely, those that are missing someone today. Father, I pray that as a community of Christ, we come together in love and fellowship and friendship and love. Father, love is what you came to share with us. When Jesus came, he was all about love. And Father, I pray that today we can continue in that stead. Father, we love you. Our world is troubled today. But today our message is of hope. The candle lit today was for peace, but without hope there is no peace. So Father, I pray today that as a people of hope, you will give us the courage to face tomorrow's sunrise, to face despair in many areas of our lives. But today, Father, we are joyous. We are happy to be in your house. We are happy to be surrounded by family and friends and loved ones, to share a meal later, Lord, to share a time of fellowship. So, Father, today I pray for each one of us that you would anoint us with your grace and your spirit once again. Father, that we would feel your presence in all that we do and the smile that we share with a stranger and the love we have for one another. So, Father, be with us today. Bless our time of worship. Bless our time of praise. Bless our time of love for you. Dear precious Lord, we love you more than anything. Lord, we love you as a child of the Savior. We pray in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.
The name of the song today is A Star Shone So Bright, and we're so blessed to have that star in our life, and just really embrace this holiday season.
Thank you.
Well, last week our first Advent candle was hope. This week was peace. And as I studied and pondered this week, I said, we got to have more hope. Can we have peace without hope? I don't think we can we? There's not peace in hopelessness, is there? I don't think we can have it. So you're going to get 2 weeks of hope, and then it's over. There's no more hope. Actually, not. We're going to remember that hope is what's going to give us peace. Our scripture today is coming from Matthew 3, verses 1 through 12. Please stand if you're able for the reading of the Word this morning. We share a little bit about the ministry of John the Baptist. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the desert of Judea, announcing, "Change your hearts and lives. Here comes the kingdom of heaven." He was the one of whom Isaiah the prophet spoke when he said, "The voice of one shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make his path straight." John wore clothes made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. He ate locusts and wild honey. People from Jerusalem, throughout Judea, and all around the Jordan River came to him. As they confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River. Many Pharisees and Sadducees came to be baptized by John. He said to them, "You children of snakes, who warned you to escape from the angry judgment that is coming soon? Produce fruit that shows you have changed your hearts and lives. And don't even think about saying to yourselves, 'Abraham is our father.' I tell you that God is able to raise up Abraham's children from these stones. The axe is already at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that doesn't produce good fruit will be chopped down and tossed into the fire. I baptize with water those of you who have changed your hearts and lives. The one who is coming after me is stronger than I am. I'm not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. The shovel he uses to sift the wheat from the husk is in his hands. He will clean out his threshing area and bring the wheat into his barn. But he will burn the husk with a fire that can't be put out." Let's pray. Gracious God, let us take in these strong words today. Father, I pray that each one of us today for Holy Communion can accept your gift once again. So, Father, be with us now in this message. And let the words of my lips come straight from you. Father, we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. As Christians, is growth an option for us, or do we stay where we are? David came in this morning and he said, "Oh, see, David, don't say anything to the pastor because he remembers what you say." This is not just for David today. David claimed to be the old stump. Where is the fresh green shoots coming from? David, they're in there. Everyone in here, they're in here. You sit here today as an old, dead, withered stump, seeming to not have any life. Is growth been stopped in your life? If it is, I'm talking to you today. Our growth is a straight path towards God. God is a lifetime endeavor, isn't it? Our journey to be like Christ. Can we wake up one morning and say, "I've made it. I'm like Christ. I'm good to go"? No, we can't. Our season tells us that there's green trees. These trees haven't been green in a long time. Can't tell that from back there, can you? Folks, in order for life to thrive in us, we must have hope. Like I just said, our second candle this week is peace. But we can't have peace without hope. So I'm going back and to talk about hope. Without hope, there cannot be peace. In our scripture reading, it talks about Isaiah. You know the story of Isaiah? He had messianic prophecy. He lived his entire life telling the people of Israel, get ready, he's coming. I stand up here before you today playing Isaiah. I have the same message that Isaiah had for the Israelites, for you. I stand up here today before you telling you to get ready. Isaiah lived to be an old man telling Israel, the people of Israel, be ready, he's coming. He anticipated the Messiah to come in his lifetime. Let me ask you this question. Do you sit here today thinking the Messiah is going to return in your lifetime? We hope so. I haven't gotten that big boat out yet. Give me some time. Are you sitting here today expecting the Messiah to return in your lifetime? Isaiah did. Isaiah lived to be an old, old man. And he still believed it was going to happen. He didn't know it was going to be maybe 7 centuries before Jesus shows up on the scene. It took a while, but he lived a life of hope. And in that hope, he found peace. Now granted, the Israelites didn't live during a particularly good time in their nation's history, did they? The Babylonians had come and taking the leaders and the leaders of the church, the leaders of the synagogue off to Babylon to be slaves. And a few years later, Jerusalem fell. So they didn't live in the best of times, did they? But good old Isaiah was saying, be ready. Be ready. It could happen today. Isaiah had a gate of hope. His gate of hope must have opened and allowed him to receive this message from God to say, be ready. You think Isaiah was at peace not seeing the evidence of the returning Messiah? John the Baptist has much the same story. We hear about John in Matthew today, John was telling the people, be ready, he's coming. John died not knowing if these prophecies had come true. Do we today sit here today not knowing if this glorious Advent picture that we painted for ourselves now, all this preparation we do, are we going to see any fruit come on the tree? Is our hope and peace going to bring fruit to our lives? We have to live like it is. I spoke earlier of a disappointment many of us feel this time of year. Our families scattered. Our lives seem to be in turmoil with health concerns, health issues, work, life, keeping the electricity on, keeping food on the table. A lot of the same issues we hear about throughout the Bible. The people of God suffered some. The people of God continue to suffer today. Well, boy, Pastor, this is not a very joyful message today. But I hope today as you sit here, you're working on your peace. The peace in your heart. Can we be at peace no matter where we find ourselves in life? Does that peace come from hope? I hope none of you are sitting here today hopeless. Hopeless is a scary thing and a sad thing. And hope doesn't just come in an instant, does it? We have to work on our hope. We have to work on the belief that things are going to be better. The broken pieces of our lives can be put back together. The old withered stump can show some green signs of life. And when we have that hope, my hope is that we have peace to go along with it. So this year, I hope you're working on your joy. You're working on your relationship with Christ. You know, I do hope that Christ comes in my lifetime. But the scary part of that is, I hope I'm ready. I like to tell myself I'm ready. But some days I say, you've got some work to do before you're really ready. And I know each one of us sitting here today know that in our lives there's some work to be done. The work to be done is in the lives of others. I haven't used this phrase in a while, but it's always my go-to phrase. It's a blessing to be a blessing. You remember me saying that? When we can be a blessing to someone else, who here has been a blessing to someone and got more in return than you, far more than you've ever given? It's a blessing to be a blessing.
Amen.
And in that hope, there is peace. So let's work on our blessing others this Advent season. Isaiah didn't live to see the Messiah. John did, but he didn't live long enough to see the promise of Jesus come to full fruition. So now we carry on that message. We carry on the Advent message. Do you feel like a messenger today? Or are you going to keep this beautiful thing to yourself? Is it a gift if you never give it? Is it a gift if you never give it? So folks, today, as we said here, we've been given this gift of Jesus that sits here on the altar today. Jesus gave it all for us. Jesus had a gift that he gave. And he gave that gift to each one of us. What did Jesus say to his disciples when he gave them this gift? Go out and give it to someone else. Folks, if you receive this gift today, and you do nothing more than take it in within yourself and you leave it there, Jesus is going to be disappointed in that. Jesus went to a lot of work to give you this gift. And if you don't return the favor, I think that disappoints Jesus Christ. So today I want you to leave here filled with hope. And as you're filled with hope, feel the peace of Christ come over you. And share that with someone else. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the gift that we are to give to others. So Father, today I pray that we are willing to give our gift to someone else. We pray in Jesus' holy name.